Welcome back to, welcome back to the Way Too Early Rookie and the Vet. Jacko, we're getting carried away here. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, well, that just shows what the level of degenerates we are. We can't wait. So yeah. Start ripping in, man.
And well, you know what we're going to do? Skipper's put his Way Too Early Blues and Maroon squads of doom.
And let's be completely transparent here. It was way, way too early because we did that on Thursday last week.
Yeah, and there's even a few things over the weekend where I thought about changing my mind. I think I even had a little change that you forgot to put in. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
I love seeing Normie at 34. That was a nice touch from you.
He came in, he was sitting there and I scribbled it down. I was like, bro, look what he's done. Beauty. Beauty. It looks like Paul Green's handwriting as well.
Beauty. And then we're also going to break down the NFL draft. We get, I've just sort of dropped off a little bit on the NFL content, but even though there's a lot happening with the NFL draft in particular, sometimes, like if you start doing mock drafts, even the professionals change their minds 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
We're not professionals. We're your average punters. We love our NFL, me and you. Try to talk about it. We'll do way more this year now that you're back in town when the 100. Games are actually on.
Yeah, definitely.
But when it comes to like the NFL draft, like I've changed my mind 1,000 times. I've got a couple of my mates messaging me changing their mind.
Yeah, I went right in on basically those top 10 picks.
Yep.
And beyond that, I'm kidding myself if I know who's
Yeah, same here. Like I obviously enjoy watching the bigger schools. I get a mixture of all the, some of my favorite draft analysts.
Yeah.
Some guys that I really love, and you'll see that are pretty familiar with some of my rankings, is a guy, Chris Sims, Unbuttoned, that I've talked about before. He used to be with Bleacher Report with Adam Lefkoe, who now has Connor Rogers on, who I like listening to his stuff.
Lefkoe's good, eh? He's like a good host.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a good
host. Yeah, he does a good job. Yeah. Matt Miller. So a few of these guys, I like to listen to all of them together because obviously with the college being a little bit disrupted with some players not playing last year. And then what I try to do is I put them all together and I'll pick like 2 or 3 of my first favourites in every position and then watch a bit of film, like watch a few highlights on them and see who I like based on that. So I think last year there was a Lemon who jumped into the comments and talked about footy players, talked about NFL.
Beauty.
We do not think we're experts. We enjoy the spectacle of the draft like most players and like to have a bit of fun with it.
We're just fans
massive fans.
We're also degenerates at heart and I think there's a bit of value to be made in this one. So we'll start with the NRL stuff and when we rip into the NFL draft, courtesy of the Tripod Betting Boys, I think I've got a bit of value in there. So
okay, beautiful.
But let's start off the top because obviously you got you put the side out there, which when you put your name to something like that, you open yourself up for a bit of criticism and boy did it come.
Yeah.
The New South Wales team.
How hard is it to pick the Blues team, by the way?
Oh, I mean, like just before you came in, I thought, just for a conversation, I'll scribble down my Maroons and Blues team.
Yeah.
The Blues team, I've crossed out 6 positions and rewrote it twice.
Yeah, okay.
And the Maroons one I did over a cup of coffee while I was talking to Ice. So the Blues side is obviously very hard to pick, and I'm not going to put you in a corner and ask you to rattle through your whole team because people would have seen it on the mag.
So what would you have changed? And I'll discuss my decision.
In your side?
Yeah, on my team and the Blues team.
I have Latrell and Whiten as my centres.
Yep.
And I know you put Zachy Lomax in, which we'll get to. I'm a massive, like, for me, I just think that Cody Walker has to be in the 6th jumper. And Isaac and I spoke about this yesterday. The number 6 is the most hotly contested position.
Yep.
And if Luke Carey was fit, there's another fucking headache as well. And I don't think you can have a wrong answer with this. Obviously, off the back of the weekend, a lot of people want Jerome in that 6 jumper.
Yep.
Fucking wouldn't look out of place. Jack Whiten's obviously the reigning Dally M, fucking 5 out of the year, still killing it, wouldn't look out of place. Kerry's obviously hurt, but for me, I'm just a Cody Walker guy. So that's my rationale for picking him. I think he compliments Cleary a bit better. I know he's kind of had a mixed bag in Origin so far, but on form right now, if I'm picking my 6 jumper, I'm going to go Cody Walker. It's by a fucking hair.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make a wrong call, but those were kind of my main points of contention with your New South Wales side. Otherwise, I thought you got it right, man. I'd swap out Haas and Saifidi in terms of that starting prop and bench prop role.
Everyone was pretty happy with the forward pack, weren't they?
I think it's
maybe
just
a few changes.
It's just a case
one big
of
one is Victor
changing.
Radley. Mm. I didn't have him in the team. Missed a lot of footy last year. Victor Radley's Victor Radley. He's probably going to be thereabouts. He'll definitely play Origin at some point in the first 3 games.
A little bit cursed by how good Cam Murray is.
Yeah,
Victor Radley
and Jakey Trbojevic too.
That's what I mean.
And another one is a big one is like obviously people might have swapped Jakey. You know, now that Jakey's fine and formed, that Tommy's back. That's another big one that people put in. I'll start with
start with the backs.
I really like the left edge of having Latrell, Josh Adokar, and Jackie Whiten in there. Although Jack Whiten can play centres like he's played in the past, it's one of those ones like we talked about. The six jersey is definitely the most contested, where you can have like you said, you can't go wrong with either. And if someone was to say, if Freddie comes out, obviously, and picks either three of them, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy with whichever way he goes. I just like the old sort of blue style of play that even like Freddie and Laurie Daly used to. It reminds me a bit of the olden days with Freddie, like big, strong, running 5'8". And then you get the opportunity to put either Turbo in the centres or who I've picked, Zach Lomax, which is another...
Yeah, dive into the Zach Lomax stuff a little bit because, like, I'm a massive Zach Lomax fan. I think anyone who's watched him play this year is a massive Zach Lomax fan. I'm going to be honest, if I'm picking my centres, I think he's probably the third or fourth guy I picked. So yeah. I'll be interested to know kind of your rationale behind picking him in that starting role there, man.
Yeah, although Nathan Cleary is a really solid goal kicker, I've got... If I'm looking just for a point of difference between some of the players that are around that position, you got guys like it gives you the flexibility to put a guy like Turbo on the wing as well. Where I like Turbo, especially in Origin, if you remember a couple of years ago where he played on the wing when he sort of come on the scene, and he's got that freedom to float into the middle.
I remember he was playing on the
playing centers,
playing on the left, and scored a few tries on the right. Yeah, he was just
yeah. So I like that's a big reason I get to keep Turbo on the wing. Obviously, Brian Toto misses out. Guys like Stephen Crichton, who have been, you know, floated around in that position. But I like having Turbo in that position where he can sort of not be stuck on that side of the field more often than, you know, if Turbo fucks off from centres and leaves his winger there, there's not really an option.
Yeah.
Whereas if they still got a bit of strike with a guy like Lomax out there, they might still get... Be happy to get to a spot on that side of the field, like lay a line with Lomax or the back row. I think I've got Frizz on the right edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have Frizz on the right edge so they can lay Frizz and then sweep back to that side where Turbo can then sweep across to the left. And then when they're sweeping from that left, you've got Cleary on the right edge who can be first on ball. He's got his shape with the middles coming back through the middle with Jackie White and fucking Latrell.
Jakey as well.
Turbo. Teddy.
Yeah.
It's just, fuck, that's going to cause that right edge of the Maroons led by Cherry.
Yeah.
From my Queensland team, a whole heap of...
I mean, the New South Wales team is very hard to get wrong. I'm a guy, like, I would rather pick a guy like Brian Toto, just reward his form, reward the meter eater. I don't think anyone would ever be a better meter eater out of the backfield than Roger.
Yeah.
And Toto said, hold my beer and let me do this thing. So I'd be more inclined to play Turbo at centre, get him. I know it's, like you said, I mean, if he's on the wing, he's still close to the ball because he floats, but traditionally I'd rather him be a little bit closer to the ball, pick Toto on the wing, and unfortunately would mean a guy on my team, both Jack White and Zach Lomax miss out. Yeah. So... it's a bit of a hot take.
You don't have Jack White in at all. I thought you said him in the centres.
No, sorry. No, I've got Turbo Latrell in the centres with Latrell.
Yep.
Toto on the wing.
Yeah.
But fuck, man.
I wouldn't argue with the two if that ends up being the team.
You're like this though. How about this for how stacked they are? Sorry, Luke, you're still dying over there, coughing up a storm. At one point in this series or in this game one, New South Wales could be fielding at one time on the field Teddy, Latrell, Pappy, and Turbo. I mean, isn't that a piss take?
Fuck.
In terms of fullbacks of doom?
That's fucked, man.
It will happen. Yeah, and yeah. I think everyone sort of, we've all accepted that Pappy's going to get that 14 jumper. He's cursed by how fucking good Teddy is.
Yeah.
But my one little smoke, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. I know you said you've picked Frizzell there on that edge.
Yeah.
I'm actually picked a little debutant there. I think Mitchie Barnett could be a little smoky.
He's been outshining his teammate.
They're playing for the same team, and I think of the two, he's been better.
Yeah.
And I think as fucking much as we love Frizz and as good as he's been, I think maybe that Origin period may have just passed him by. And if you're looking to sort of blood that new era, I think Mitchie Barnett's going to be a fucking good player for a long time. He just looks like he's built for Origin. Got a bit of shit in him, bigger body. So that's my back row. I'd love to see him in there too. I got Barnett with Cam Murray and Crichton as my back row.
I think if they continued their form and had a few more dubs, he might have been in serious consideration. But once again, I think Freddie will go with guys that have proven themselves.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. He's talked about it before. I think he likes the idea of blooding guys in originally, like he did with Zach Lomax to give him the opportunity to play this year, like he did with Gutho the year before to give him the opportunity 2 years ago to give him the opportunity last year.
Yeah.
I think he's going to sort of copy that. He's put a lot of effort into the emerging squads over the last couple of years for this reason. So If you see guys, you know, names like that, like Mitchie Barnett come into the squad, with, I think they're more looking, projecting. Brian Toto, I think, is another one.
Yeah.
He obviously loves, like, if you watch Freddie in the Eight, the way he talks about the Penrith players and keeping them together, there's a big chance that, you know, I could be wrong on my team because he keeps talking about keeping that nucleus together.
Yeah.
Big
rails to see all of them just get picked.
Yeah.
That whole edge. Jumping over to the Maroons then, brother.
Yeah, let's
because
go to the Maroons. There's probably only a couple of ones here.
Yeah, yeah. I think the big one is
KP
obviously...
KP and Brimo.
I think KP's a lock. I know particularly early in the season when KP was still kind of waiting for him to get back to that, you know, full health, but he turned up in the poo game and still killed it. So I think KP's a lock. I know you have Brimo squeaking into that 14 jersey.
Yep.
I don't. I think Reed Marnie gets it. I think he gets rewarded for his form. I don't know off the back of what he's come through. I don't know if Baby Goat's ready to go 80 in Origin. He fucking could. He's that good. But I think you get more out of him by giving a little minutes restriction there. And Reed Marnie's been so good this year.
If there's a player deserve it, it's definitely
I think he deserves it. So I'm picking with my heart a little bit there. I know Brimo probably offers more in the way of a point of difference off the bench, but if you're just trying to copy New South Wales, who are going to pick Pappy, and you go, Brimo, if you want a little point of difference, get someone who can really straighten that attack and get those big boys like Tino, Fifita, Welch, and Papa over the line. Yep. I'd love to see Reed Marnie come on and give yourself a good 15 to 20 there, spell Harry Grant, and he comes on and ices it. So that's kind of my only, when I looked at your side, that was kind of the only point I disagreed with.
Yep.
And I know you had Capewell moving into the centres.
Yeah, I had, so I ended up sort of changing my mind. I think I had... There's a player outside of Sua. Maybe it's Sua I bring onto the bench.
Jai Arrow, potentially.
Jai Arrow's on the bench there.
Yeah.
But we move Capewell into the centres.
For Philip Sammy.
For Philip Sammy and put him back into the 19th, 20th spot. Another guy that was talked about and mentioned is Corey Thompson, who's been...
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm a fan of him. I talk about him on Footy Companion all the time. I talk about him on Rookie and the Vet. I'm a big fan of... You know, if he got the opportunity, I think he'd do a really good job as well. And then another good point is Kyle Felt with his connection with Neil Henry.
Yeah.
Degenerate brought that up with me because he's going, Xavier Coates won't make it. They'll pick Felt over him. Whereas I was...
My only thing with Felt, I love Felt as a player. And I know he hasn't had much consistency in terms of his centre partners over the last few years, but Felt makes quite a few questionable defensive calls a lot of the time. Jams in when he should be holding, holds when he should jam. That's just what I see, and I could be wrong, but I think if you're trying to beat this New South Wales team, which like we said is going to have probably four of the five best fullbacks in the game at one time, you've got to have a bit of X factor, and Xavier Coates is X factor.
It's in the name, baby.
It's in the name, baby. So I think, unfortunately for both Felt and Corey Thompson, I think Holmes and Coates are almost a lock. They're such specialist wingers. They're so talented. And obviously Origin Gags locks up that centre position. Maybe Felt or Brimo, or fucking Sammy sneaks into that other centre spot. That other centre position's a bit weird. I know they played Brinko Lee there last year, who's obviously, he hurt himself again playing Q Cup over the weekend.
Did Edric play?
I think Edric did get a game.
He was on the wing in the last game for X.
So they're a little bit light in the outside backs, but that centre position, Capewell obviously has proven he can do it. I'd be going Philip Sammy, but...
Yeah, so I think with the Xavier Coates thing, and I'm going to harp on about it as we go on, he's obviously, the Broncos aren't having the best results, but you'll see he's the type of player. He's a bit like Origin Gags. I know Origin Gags hates being called Origin Gags, but you will see the best version of Xavier Coates at the highest level with a lot of talent around him. Yeah. It was actually a pleasure to pick the Queensland team. It wasn't for me, that hard.
Yeah.
Apart from the centre position, like the forward pack, geez, that's a nice looking forward pack. If they stay healthy, leading into it.
The back row, I believe we have the same back row, Kafusi, Fifita and Tino.
Yep.
Obviously, I've got Reed Marnie in the 14 jumper, Mo Fodawaker, Capewell and Jairo on the bench. So,
Lindsay Collins.
I don't have Lindsay Collins.
I reckon he's a lock.
Yeah.
Lindsay Collins was pushing Christian Welsh for me to be in the starting front row. I've got a massive rap on Lindsay
Wouldn't
Collins.
Look out of place, man. Yeah.
He did a really good job last year for him.
Yeah.
And then sort of, you know, that confidence that he got leading into the start of the season before he got suspended or injured for a couple of games, but he made his return off the bench from last week. I think he's a really important part for him. I think he's a lock to be in the 17. Lindsay
there you
go. All right. Well, I think that's most of the NRL things we wanted to cover. Yeah, cover for the Origin squad breakdown. If we have any more stuff that comes up, we might discuss it on Rookie in the Vet on Thursday when we do our weekly picks. But let's move on to the NFL draft. This is. I feel like we're going to be going after each other straight away.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my top five based on in which order I think they're going to come off the board.
Okay.
And then there's probably only. Actually, you know what? Yeah, they're probably my five rated quarterbacks anyway out of this draft. Which way I'm going to go? So you go first, your top five, and I'll go first. My
top five players overall.
Second. Yeah, top five quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
So
it's Trevor Lawrence is the number one, presumptive number one pick. He's the best quarterback in this draft. Surefire future fucking. I'm not going to say Hall of Famer, but I think he's unbustable. Is that a term?
Generational talent.
Is that our sort of term?
Yeah.
Unbustable is not going to bust.
Yeah, we'll use it.
Unbustable sounds like Simi at the moment. I have Justin Fields as my second rated quarterback, and I know you're smirking over there. I don't care. I haven't fallen in love with the Zach Wilson stuff. Yeah, I've watched a bit of highlights. He got that razzle. He got that flair. That's cool. You're playing at BYU, baby. I don't give a shit. So I've got Justin Fields as my second rated quarterback, and I fucking hope that all the pundits are wrong and that Zach Wilson at $1.02 right now to go to the Jets is wrong and the bookmakers have it wrong. I hope my Jets take Justin Fields.
I believe
Fields.
He's got the playbook, and so I think
I'm pretty sure he's already there.
Trevor Lawrence and Zach. There's no bigger locks than them two, one and two.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because I want my Jets take Fields. Anyway, I got Zach Wilson three because I'm not an idiot. I can see the talent. I recognize that he's a good player.
Yep.
I've got Trey Lance at four.
Yep.
And for the same reason as Zach Wilson, I think the talent's there. He looks ready to roll, but I don't think he's a day one starter. I'd love to see him go to a team, I know San Fran won't do this, but to a team where he could sit behind someone like Jimmy G for a year or two, apply his trade, learn his craft, and then come out. I think he's got the talent, hasn't played against the right competition yet. If he ends up going to a shithouse team that he's a day one starter, I think he could really struggle. But I love the upside in Trey Lance. And then I've got Mac Jones there. After that, if you're not 42 years old, you can't be a statue in the pocket anymore. There's no razzle to his game. I know he's accurate. He seems like a good kid. And it seems like, in all likelihood, the 49ers are going to pick him, which I think is a massive mistake because all you're doing is taking a guy who plays a lot like Jimmy Garoppolo but hasn't played in the league and going to start him on day one. So I don't see a whole lot of upside in Mac Jones. I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be great. The guys the aforementioned, I believe, have the potential to be great.
Yep.
So I've gone Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Trey Lance, into Mac Jones.
Okay, one thing I'll quickly touch on first, Justin Fields. I had a decent lick on Justin Fields probably about 2 weeks ago for over 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really liking that at the moment. I don't have him in my top 10. We're about to get to my top 10
for picks. Dare you.
And I didn't make any trades though, because that's depending on... I think all five quarterbacks are going to go on the top 15.
Agreed.
Depending on drafts. Draft day trades, sorry. So I dare say Fields might even squeak into the top 10, 15 if there are trades. I'm looking at the bottom around like the Denver Broncos spots. But before I get to that, I had a decent lick on Fields at over 4.5. I'm feeling really good about that because I got Lawrence going one, Zach Wilson going two. Mm. One of my bets that I'll get to later on, Trey Lance going three for the same reason that you said. Regarding
I hope so.
Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's contract is very team-friendly, and it gives him the opportunity to sit. You had Mac Jones in there. I got Mac Jones going the fourth quarterback picked. Apparently, he got really good IQ. Makes all the right throws. He's one of those guys that's, like you said, like I mentioned before, I listened to Sims in particular and listened to his predictions. He had Mac Jones at three going to the 49ers. The reasons he liked him there is because his mate, Kyle Shanahan, who's obviously coach of the 49ers, he had two comps for him. Basically, his floor is Kirk Cousins and his ceiling is Matt Ryan. And both of those two guys, which doesn't blow you away, but they're good for 10 wins a year. But it's the reason why I didn't put him at three as well, because I'm thinking if...
You got
to
have a point of difference,
if you're picking
the
three to trade up, you want to go for a guy with Trey Lance who's probably going to have a lower floor. He played at North Dakota State. He sat last year. He didn't play any football. But from people seem to be wowed by the kid. He's really smart. He can make all the throws.
Athletic.
We just haven't seen it against good competition.
Yeah.
With Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins' floor and Matt Ryan fucking ceiling is nice, but...
I think that's exactly Jimmy Garoppolo's floor and ceiling. I think his floor is Kirk Cousins and his ceiling is probably Matt Ryan.
I probably have Kirk Cousins a bit over Jimmy, like I've seen.
Yeah.
Probably Kirk's got, you know, a bit stronger arm strength.
Then my thing, does. I don't mean to interrupt you, and you can carry on. I don't understand what the 49ers are doing if they take Mac Jones, because they've given up a lot to get into that three spot, and all the reports at the moment are still that they're not decided yet. I mean, you'd assume they are. It's fucking Monday.
They would have. It's just all smoke.
It's all smoke. But like, unless you're taking a guy like Trey Lance or Justin Fields that gives you a point of difference, if you take Mac Jones, all you're doing is saying Jimmy Garoppolo is the type of player we want, but not quite good enough, and Mac Jones might be. But here's the thing, man, and you'd know this from watching the Seahawks back in the day. Gun defenses don't age well. Your window with an amazing defense like the Niners have is way smaller than a high-powered offense. It's just the way it always goes, right? Their window is this fucking narrow, and it's still open by a fucking crack at the moment because they still got an amazing defense. They got George Kittle, their wide receivers coming back. If your plan is to bring in Mac Jones and have a look at the next 5 to 10 years with him, I think that's a massive mistake, man. I would love to see them just double down with Jimmy G, get a guy like Trey Lance in the building. So I love that you've got him there going at three. I hope that's what they do.
Yeah, I've got Trey Lance going at three. And actually, you know what? I don't even think he'll sit the whole season. I think he just might sit the first 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Mac Jones going at 4. Justin Fields going at 5. With the Trey Lance take in particular as well. Like you said, he's one of those guys. He can be a bit of a game changer.
Mm.
Mac Jones, the last bit with Mac Jones, the reason why Sims compares him to both of those two guys in particular is Matt Ryan played his best year when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator at the Falcons when they went to the Super Bowl. That was the same year he won MVP. And Shanahan was also the offensive coordinator at Washington Redskins when Kirk Cousins took over from RG3.
Got the big deal as well.
So that's why the player comps seem to be heading towards them and those sorts of quarterbacks. But there have been a few things where Kyle Shanahan's come out and said, look, just because I've coached those guys in the past, like those were guys that were there
when he
arrived and took over the job. It's not necessarily
his guy,
his go-to quarterback. And the way that the league's trending these days with guys like, you know, even the GOATs, apart from the number one GOAT Patty Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all these sorts of guys, and Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, they can all move around in the pocket.
That's what I mean. The league is moving, or has moved, if you want to fucking go that far, towards you have to have a little bit of razzle about your game. And what I mean by that
Josh Allen,
like, you can be a pocket passing quarterback, but if you don't have that Rodgers escapability or just enough to extend plays by a little bit, like you see, like even a guy like Daniel Jones, who has good top end, it doesn't have a lot of lateral movement, and
Joe
Burrow can move around. So all of these guys coming through, these young quarterbacks that have a little bit of razzle, that's the thing that I think the biggest thing that slept on about Trevor Lawrence. He can fucking move, man. Yeah. Like, proper move.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he's,
and,
he's,
you know,
he's
and nice. That's a big, not a big part, but that is a part of why he's going to go number one. But I'm just not sold on Mac Jones. I watched a guy by the name of AJ McCarron play at Alabama, and he just looked exactly the same to me. He was accurate. He didn't have to do a lot. He had amazing wide receiver weapons, and then he backed up in Cincinnati for 3 years and was out of the league. So I just don't think there's a whole lot of upside. If you've got the number 3 pick, you better be doing something with that. So I also think, like you mentioned then, you've done this based off no trades happening on draft day. Yeah.
Have you made trades for your top 10?
No.
Yeah,
haven't.
Sweet.
I actually think one of the sort of jams that I messaged you about before, Unibet's offering the line of total trades in that first round under 5.5. And I think that's fucking money, man. The only teams
under
5.5 draft day round one trades.
How much are they offering for that? I reckon that's a lock as
I'll double check that. We'll get it up.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only. Detroit's picking at 7. I was about to say Detroit's picking at 7. Depending what happens above them, if they've got their eye on a quarterback that they really wanted to get and he goes early, they might trade down.
Yeah.
But other than Detroit trading down or Chicago potentially trading up to grab a quarterback, I don't see anyone moving, man. I think they're all pretty much set in their way. So I'll be having a proper lick on that under 5.5.
I think there's two real spots that I think are a big chance of making moves.
Yep.
Broncos to potentially come up, and Falcons and Lions to move back.
Yeah.
That's one. Falcons, that 4 spot's the hardest to pick.
Falcons make sense to move down. My thing with them is, and we'll get to it when we go through our picks, but I've got them taking one more wide receiver weapon and having a wide receiver. I've got them taking Kyle Pitts, actually, but one more weapon and having a real last little go with Matt Ryan. I don't think they take a quarterback because I think the Matt Ryan window's still there. I just think they double down on that offensive side and really go for it. So
I agree. So let's get into it. Number one, Jags, we're both taking Lawrence.
I'm taking Trevor Lawrence. I think that's a lock. We don't have to talk too much about that.
One thing I will say is just on that, I think this is one of the better spots for a young number one overall draft pick quarterback to
Jacksonville, you mean?
They just picked up Marvin Jones. They've got DJ Shark, who's done a good job for them. Laviska Shenault, they got in the second round last year at wide receiver. Undrafted running back James Robinson, rushed for the most yards for a rookie. They got picked up Tyler Eifert, who's injury prone from the Bengals. That's come
he's
over
a big
now.
Tight end, isn't
he? Yeah, I think he might have come over last year. Same sort of thing. But he's a nice little weapon, and they've got a few nice pieces in the offensive line with Norwell, who was a Pro Bowler at Carolina a couple of years ago, as well as a couple of young difference makers who are just they've got no real leadership. You know, still got Miles Jack there in the middle of their defense, but guys, CJ Henderson they picked up in the first round last year as a DB. Josh Allen the year before, the Josh Allen from fucking Buffalo.
Josh Allen, the horse ride.
Defensive end, Josh Allen, who showed spurts. So Jags won't be that far away. They're a bit like... once you get the quarterback with, that elite of quarterback.
Similar to when Baker landed in Cleveland before the Odell and all that. They had a couple of nice pieces at wideout, some young defensive studs, and he's obviously taken them to the playoffs and won a game. So, I agree.
I think they get to about 6 wins next year. The Jags are nice and early with that sort of roster with, Florence can
way
stay,
too early.
This is way too early.
This is the way too early in NFL
play. And then they're in an opportunity to, I believe, with pretty good cap space to make some plays again next year. So,
yeah.
Jags are going to be a big riser because of Trevor Lawrence. Number two, they reckon it's also $1.03. Jets take Zach Wilson. He's been the big improver of the draft.
I've got Justin Fields, but it's wishful thinking. They're going to take Zach Wilson. So, shit situation to go to. Just ask Sam Darnold. Nightmare. I mean, if you're a young quarterback, just like piggybacking off what you said about Trevor Lawrence, I can't really think of a worse place to go than the New York Jets at the moment, to be honest. But anyway, there he goes.
I like the hiring of like a guy like Robert Salah, who comes from 49ers to
fucking high energy.
Yeah, he's going to bring that energy. Seems like they still need a whole heap of help to go outside. Like you said, Zach Wilson's been a late riser. He's a guy that Sims highlighted, who does his quarterback rankings, who's been very accurate in the last couple of years. For instance, you look at last year, he had, and I declared it because of listening to Sims as well, not as my favourite quarterbacks, how I thought they were going to go was Burrow, Herbert. I thought Herbert was going to go too.
Yeah.
And then Tua.
I remember you telling me that, and I hadn't watched a lot of Herbert. I tried to sort of, like when you cram for an exam, I do this with my quarterback tapes.
Yeah.
I crammed a lot of Justin Herbert film right at the end and was like, oh yeah, well fucking of course. This guy's a wizard. And I love Tua. Yeah. I was the one who was saying Tua should go number one.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. And that's the reason I wasn't a fan of Tua and still aren't a fan of Tua. The year before, he gets Kyler Murray, which was pretty straightforward. I'm trying to remember who the other one was. But the big one the year before that, and he's been a big fan, is Josh Allen.
Yeah,
freak. He's obviously come on now, and thereabouts of the MVP. He had Josh Allen as his number one quarterback, and he got a lot of blowback for that because at the time, it was Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Then Baker goes number one, and then you got Lamar floating around at five in that draft. But one thing he did get wrong, and I took a lot of heat copped a little bit in the fantasy group about Josh Rosen. He had Josh Rosen at two. So he's normally pretty accurate. He's
remember
pretty close
guy
when it comes to these. So we're both – oh, so you've gone Fields. I've gone Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Number three, like I said, I've gone Trey Lance to the
– I love that. Yeah, I've got –
49ers.
Just because of my wishful thinking, I've got Zach Wilson at three, but I think it will be Justin Fields. And I hope it's Justin Fields, but the Trey Lance pick makes a shitload of sense, man.
Yeah, Trey Lance, so you like that pick. We probably discussed that a little bit in the quarterback ranking, so we'll move on.
Mm.
We've both got Kyle Pitts. The freak of nature, Kyle Pitts, a tight end.
Yeah, I I've changed this since yesterday. I had Jamar Chase going there. I thought they were going to go really high and add to that Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and just go fucking three-headed monster with that offense and try and blow teams off the park again, Atlanta.
Well, they're still going to do that with Kyle Pitts.
They can still do it with Kyle Pitts. So I get the trepidations. Like we've seen tight ends, whether it's TJ Hockenson or OJ Howard, some tight ends in the recent years where they've picked them absolute freaks come in and been
at the
good. Good, but not game changers.
Yeah.
The male on Kyle Pitts is he's a fucking game changer. So
he must be good. Like I've watched a little bit on him. Fuck, he's a massive mismatch.
Huge human.
You're obviously watching what the Patriots and even Tampa Bay were able to do last year with Gronk and how much of a difference maker it makes in big games when your
teams
tight ends make contested catches.
Teams, when they're looking at tight ends these days, they're looking at two guys. They're looking at Kelce and Kittle, and they're looking at what a premium those guys give you matchup-wise over everyone else, over linebackers and defense. So I had them yesterday taking Jamar Chase, and I've already changed. I got him taking Kyle Pitts. But to your point earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if a trade down happens here and if they get offered a war chest. It's all going to depend on what San Francisco do. Mm. So if San Francisco pull out and take a Trey Lance, and perhaps Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Mac Jones are still there, and one of those teams that are quarterback hungry really like that guy.
I think that's that, like I said before. I think someone trades up to that fourth spot if they decide.
If their quarterback is there,
depending on how in love they are.
And that's why Atlanta are just sitting pretty, because they're going, listen, we're either going to take Kyle Pitts, or you offer us a fucking war chest, and we'll move down. So, yeah, we agree there.
Yeah, there's always a lot of points in that NFC South, and there's going to be even more so if they pair up Pitts with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley.
Todd Gurley coming back as well.
Number
just
five, yeah. I've got our boy Joe Burrow reuniting with Ja'Marr Chase.
Sick. Yeah, I think this one, we spoke about this on the Triple Betting podcast yesterday. I got them taking Penei Sewell. I think that they've got their quarterback of the future. I think they get him a little bit more help. The offensive line for Cincy's not terrible. Yep. He did get beat up last year.
That is pretty bad.
So, yeah, I think I think they get him in there and shore that up.
But I think I've even heard that he's been petitioning to get Chase.
See, hey, rookie quarterback. Yeah. Hey, sit down, boy. Yeah. You ain't got that pull just yet, big dick Burrow.
I don't know. Bengals being fucking.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I'd love to see them get Ja'Marr Chase and get him like a legit bona fide number one. People sleep on Ja'Marr Chase because obviously if you're kind of only like a casual consumer of football, you know,
he didn't see Devontae Smith last year.
You would have seen Devontae Smith, and obviously he sat out Ja'Marr Chase, but he was shredding cornerbacks that went in the first round last year. So I think that'd be an amazing pick. Again, in my draft, I got them taking Sewell, which I think is, there's another little prop bet going around about the first non-quarterback taken in the draft, and I think potentially, depending on what happens at four, if Atlanta were to trade down, a team jumps up, I think Sewell could be
the first. Atlanta could even be in the position to take Penei Sewell as well.
Yeah, they could.
Their line is like it's solid without. Yeah, they used a couple of picks in the last couple of years. I believe they took Gardner center.
Yeah,
I think in the same draft late in the rounds.
Sewell. I know everyone loves Slater out of Northwestern as well, but Sewell has been the presumptive number one tackle for a long time, and I think nothing changes despite a good pro day from the big fella Slater. And that it doesn't matter. I think Sewell looks like a freak.
Yeah.
So I got them taking him, but Ja'Marr Chase would be sick.
Well, I got Penei Sewell going to the Dolphins, the next pick. They picked a few offensive linemen with Tua last year to help him out, but I think if you're going to give Tua every opportunity to be the guy, I don't believe he's the guy. I think if they're in a better position a little bit further up and they had an opportunity to pick a quarterback.
Oh, how dare.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went to the quarterback. But if they stay put and stay in six and the three quarterbacks that I've said go off the board at three, I think they sit pretty and take Penei Sewell and give it's Penei Sewell. He must be an Uso. He must be. Sounds like he's an Islander.
I'm gonna go Hawaiian with Hawaiian? No basis. Yeah, I don't know that at all.
Yeah, either do I. But yeah. It sounds like he's an Islander.
Moana vibes.
So,
I disagree.
The Usos up together. Let's go. Usos.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I think Tua is the absolute. I think he's the truth. And I have for a long time. I think if Tua was entering this draft without that hip injury, I think he's the number two quarterback taken. Behind Trevor, I think he's that good. I think he came
strongly
in.
Strongly disagree with that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Strongly.
And I can already smell a future here. but I think what they're going to do is they're going to get Tua some help. He's going to get linked back up with one of his Alabama wide receivers. I hope it's Devonta Smith. That'd be cool. But
I don't think Devonta Smith's going to go on the top.
Unfortunately, neither do I. so I think they grab Waddle there. He's an out and out speed merchant, and Tyreek Hill's quickly showing the league what you can do with that if you've got an accurate quarterback. Yeah. The one thing about Tua is he has got deep ball accuracy, a legit deep ball accuracy. So I'd love to see them take one of his weapons there and really give Miami, who's got a great core, really give Tua a chance to shine with a guy who can pop the defense over the top. So Devonta Smith would be cool because he's got an amazing story. He's a Heisman winner, and he's an Alabama boy. That'd be cool.
Yep.
But I've got Waddle going there to Miami.
What about the stats of, like, breaking all these records at Alabama and breaking receiving and touchdown records and getting the Heisman? And
some people have him ranked as like the fifth best receiver.
Yeah, he's a little bit further down. I think it's weird how sometimes, you know, in that system especially, it can. We remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I was, depending on which way you're leaning on a play, you can use being at a big school or a lower school in any way, which way.
Yeah,
so, for instance,
right.
With Alabama, you can say that they've got all the talent around them. That's the reason they're good. If you're not high on someone, then, you know, when you're trying to knock one of the other players, you'll say, or like you're trying to boost up your players because, he didn't have all the talent around him.
That's the thing.
So you can't really, like, no matter where you fall in the discussion on any given player.
You can make an argument.
You can make an argument for either way.
That's what fucks me off about the situation is about the Justin Fields hate. Is the number one thing that people like have been holding against Justin Fields is they go, oh, he doesn't. He only goes to his first read, and he can't make that many calls
because they're open.
Because they're open. Well, that's exactly what Mac Jones did. He just threw to Devonta Smith and Waddle for the whole fucking career. Like he hasn't made any amazing third, fourth read, scramble plays, hitting home runs. So I know I'm obviously bagging Mac Jones like nobody's business, but I just think the Justin Fields disrespect in this draft is unreal. And I hope he goes to San Francisco and proves everyone wrong, man.
Okay, this is, like I said, this is where I think there could be a spot to trade back.
Yeah.
But I've got the Lions taking Micah Parsons, the middle linebacker.
Out of Penn State. There's a bit of jam in that. I've got them taking your boy Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech.
You've got Farley up there as well.
Yeah, so and he's fucking value there. I think it's at about
value. Did you mean to do that or did that just fucking stutter?
Yeah, it's my stutter.
Nice.
It's my Tui Vasashek stutter stick. I think if you're looking for the first defensive player taken, Micah Parsons is the favorite for a reason. He's a proper hybrid linebacker. I'm not too sure he's super NFL ready just with, again, the mail you're getting is he's not super confident in that pass protection scheme. He's athletic, can get to the quarterback, can make all the tackles around the defensive line, but perhaps isn't quite that guy. So I've actually got another linebacker that I think could go off the board first. Yeah. And what's our boy Sutan? Patrick Sutan from Alabama. Sutan's the number one corner everyone's going at the moment. I think finally's the truth, man. I think he's the bigger, stronger, more NFL-ready corner. Detroit have so many needs. So again, this is assuming Detroit stay at seven. We're not really forecasting too many trades here. But if Detroit stay at seven, they need so much help. I don't think they take a quarterback. I think they've got Goff, whether it's for 18 months, 2 years, or 3 years. I think they stick with Goff. They could take one of the wide receivers here as well. It's a bit of a fucking lottery pick, but I'm chasing a bit of odds there. So I'm going Farley out of Virginia Tech.
Yep.
First corner off the ball, baby.
Yeah. Oh, I got Farley going a little bit later.
Yeah.
But let's go to the Carolina Panthers. Like you talked about before, Sam Darnold hasn't really had much help on the line before.
Yeah.
So they go and get this fucking big, mean Slater.
Yeah,
we're Rashawn Slater?
Yes. Yeah.
Sean Slater?
Out of Northwestern, yeah.
He looks like a big angry man.
Yeah, he does. That makes sense. The tackle help makes sense. I've got them taking in a wide receiver. This is where I have Jamar Chase falling to.
Jamar Chase all the way there? You got Waddle over Chase.
Yeah, I got Waddle over Chase.
Wow.
So,
I thought you picked Chase earlier.
Well, I did. I had him at four on my mock draft, I swapped him, and this is where I had initially had Kyle Pitts falling to.
Yeah.
Which I think would still be a great pick. If he's still there at eight, I think Carolina snap him up straight away. Yeah. But again, I've got him going a little bit higher. So it's all going to depend.
I don't think Pitts gets past Dolphins. If Falcons don't pick him, Bengals choose him. If Bengals choose him, I think Dolphins pick him.
Yeah, could be anything. But again, I've got Jamar Chase falling here, and I think it'll be an amazing pickup for Sam Darnold. I'm still a big believer in Sam Darnold. When I say big believer, I don't think he's amazing, but I think he's a lot better than the Jets let him be. He was the number one pick for a reason. Big, talented kid, young, still young as fuck. He came in the league young. I know he's got a turnover problem, but you know, there's a lot of very good quarterbacks that had turnover problems early in their career. He's got the arm strength, he's got the IQ for it, and now he's in a slightly better system there in Carolina. I don't know if he's a huge upgrade on Teddy Bridgewater, but I think they're going to get him some help. Whether it's on the line, I don't think you've made a terrible pick there. I think Slater could easily go there, but I got Jamar Chase falling there.
Yeah, they got him relatively cheap with few of the picks. I think they gave up a second rounder and a couple of future picks. The reason he was seeing ghosts is because he just never got blocked for. They got Mekhi Becton finally for him last year. Had a nice rookie season. But Rashawn Slater, same thing. Bit of protection on, you know, you chuck Christian McCaffrey. You've got DJ Moore.
McCaffrey,
Robbie Anderson.
McCaffrey back for Darnold. I think just that alone, or not McCaffrey back for Darnold, but McCaffrey being in the team with Darnold, you're going to see his turnovers halved just by having a legit outlet that you can just
like McCaffrey takes so much pressure
dump
off
the ball to. If your first read's not there, check down to McCaffrey.
Well, you know what? Carolina Panthers were in a lot of games last year and just couldn't get the job done because Teddy couldn't make the big throws.
If they had McCaffrey
in the fourth quarter,
with
McCaffrey obviously missed a whole heap of action. I think they had Mike Davis playing a lot, but Sam Darnold can make those big throws in big moments, but he was just never given the opportunity because he was always on the fucking back foot.
He links back up with his boy Robbie Anderson as well.
They're an interesting team going forward. On the Broncos, this is where I got my boy Mac Jones falling to them.
We both agree we're going to take a quarterback. I think Trey Lance falls this far.
Trey Lance, okay. So,
and again, to your point with San Francisco, I really hope they take Trey Lance because I think you'll fucking hit the nail on the head, then you should be the GM at San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will. I think they're fucking idiots. They're going to take Mac Jones, at which point Trey Lance falls here. But as much as we love our boy Drew Locke off the field, kid, Kid ain't really yet, is he?
Yeah, I sent enough last year. I drafted him in my dynasty, so I watched a fair few of his games last year.
Torture.
He can make the. Sometimes I think he forces it way too much, like because he's got a talented defense. He got, you know, Von Miller missed a lot of last year. Bradley Chubb's obviously developing to one of the better. They've got a really good tandem there. They've got some nice pieces. Justin Simmons playing safety for him.
Is Philip Lindsay still there running the ball out of the backfield?
Philip Lindsay, no, he's gone to somewhere where Hainsey wasn't happy about them going for dynasty purposes.
Yeah.
I think he went to the Texans behind David Johnson.
Ah, good.
Philip Lindsay and Hainsey's blowing up going, why would you do that? Purely because it affects his fucking dynasty team. I don't think they're thinking about that, Hainsey. But yeah, I've got Mac Jones. I think he's a prototypical strong quarterback, a bit in the mold that they've drafted before, like a better version of Drew Locke, a better version of fucking Brock Osweiler. I think he's really smart. Like you said, he's made all the throws. You know, people knock Ohio State for the same reason behind Fields. He makes all the throws, and then he also, I find a lot of the time, he puts some of those throws in positions where only his guys can get them.
Yeah.
And a big part of it, with all the speed that he had, and he's going to have really good wide receivers. You've got Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton comes back from an ACL.
Yeah.
Mac Jones puts them on the spot where they can not only catch it, but puts it out in front, catch it, and go. And Devontae Smith did that a lot last year. And you got guys like Jerry Jeudy, who he's played with was at Alabama as well. So
fuck,
I think it's a big upgrade. Mac Jones is my pick.
I think you've completely flipped me there. I think it's like Mac Jones. I like that. That was a breakdown shit, boy.
Yeah,
that was good.
Done the film, baby. unlike NRL. Like I said before, everyone knows that I probably do my best work in the NFL when I know more players in the NFL than I do in the NRL.
NFL and Super League, of course.
Moving on to the Cowboys, this is where I got my boy Caleb Farley going.
Yeah.
You broke him down a little bit. A couple of years ago, people were talking about him. If he was in the draft, he'd be a top 10, top 20 pick. Based on what he did the year before. He sat last year. He missed 2017 with an ACL. The big concern coming into this year's draft is that he's had a back concern, which has been a red flag for a lot of teams. You go the knee, you go the back, plus the year of not playing last year due to COVID doesn't fare well for him, and that's why people are putting Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn above him. But I've got Caleb Farley going to – they need a difference maker there. Their DBs have been decimated in the last couple of years, losing Byron Jones and a few other players in the back end for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think he's a really nice pick. They're stacked on offense. They bring back Dak. Zeke will be back to his best with Dak.
Yeah.
Their wide receivers are stacked.
Stacked, yeah.
Their offensive line isn't as good as it used to be, but it's there. Defense is where they need to go, and I think they go Caleb Farley.
I'd love if they take Farley here. If he falls again, I've got him going a bit higher, but this is where I've got your boy Rashawn Slater going. So for the same reason, like, it's the Cowboys, so who really gives a fuck? But for me, in my head, and maybe it's just the traditionalist in me, but the Cowboys are relevant when their offensive line is dominant. And that's when you protect Dak,
yep,
and Zeke can run the ball. So I think they take Slater, they beef up that offensive line, you give all those wideouts another year to develop, and you just hope that these guns on defense, because they do have gun players on defense, particularly in their linebacking core. I know Sean Lee retired today.
Oh, did he?
Bit of breaking
news. I didn't see that. Yeah,
I just saw it before he came on. But obviously, he wasn't a massive part of what they were doing.
They've got Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch now. He was more of a rotational player last year.
I don't know whether it was a scheme issue. I'm probably not that clued into the NFL, like, defensive scheme-wise. But they were off last year. I think there's still enough talent there on defense that you maybe don't have to take a defensive player with a 10th pick. I think you can beef up that line. And if either Sewell or Slater are still sitting there at 10, I think that's the right move.
Yep.
It's not a very Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones move. They kind of like those more glamour players when they pick up high. They like Zeke, they like CeeDee, that sort of stuff.
They did build that team, like you said, with offensive linemen.
I think if
a couple of years before that, going in with like Travis Federer and the guard.
And Frederick turned into a fucking...
Yeah, before he retired.
All time. So if you're going to pay Dak, which they've obviously done, protect him. So I think they're going to take Slater there. I think. Yeah. Who knows, man?
Well, that's our top 10. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
We'll be doing this moving forward at YKTR Sports, so we'll have a look next week after the draft and see how we go. We can talk about where we got it right, where we got it wrong, and then maybe next year when we do Rookie in the Vet. Turned Kiwi just then. Rookie in the Vet next year, way too early. We'll see how your tour take was wrong and my Justin Herbert take was right.
Yeah, when he throws 30 touchdowns to Devonta Smith next year. Book it.
Yeah, he's still got a couple of years. We'll give the quarterbacks 3 or 4 years, so this will be nice to progress and see how we go as we go forward. Your top wide receiver, you've got Waddle over Jamar Chase, or is that just where you think they're going to drop?
Yeah, it's just fit. Okay. So I think Jamar Chase is definitely the best wide receiver. I purely have Waddle going based on fit. I forget even where I had him going now. I've already blanked. But I've got Jamar Chase, Waddle, into Devonta Smith. I think Devonta Smith is still there. He's still good. That's just... Unfortunately, he's getting slept on. Maybe it's because he's too skinny. But shit, baby, so is Kevin Durant. Yep. Just get the kid on the floor.
That's it. Yeah. I love Jamar Chase. I think I've got number one pick in my dynasty for NFL, and I'm contemplating taking Chase over a running back, which is my number one running back, which is Travis Etienne from Clemson.
Yeah, boy.
I've got him as my number one rate. I think he can do it all. Najee Harris had a really good year as well. I've got him at number two. But if I'm looking at a team like, and this is for, it might be a sneaky little draft prop bet, a team like to go in the first round, I think probably one running back will go in the first round. And the spot where I like it is the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
I think that's a team that's pretty much covered across the, you could even see the Steelers going with after losing James Conner. But I think the Buffalo Bills picking at pick 29 or 30 could be really intriguing for a guy like Travis Etienne, where
he's my highest rated running back as well.
Okay.
And I love Najee Harris. He's obviously very much in that, you want to say Derrick Henry mold. He's not that big, but big, powerful, can do it all. I think Etienne gives you a proper point of difference.
Yeah.
And to me, more suited to this current league. I know it's a league being dominated by Derrick Henry, but outside of Derrick Henry, it's those backs that can kind of do it all that I think are the other safer bets at the moment.
I've got Travis Etienne more taking it to the house.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Better than what Najee Harris
more of a do. Home run hitter. And if he goes to a team like the Bills where he can share that workload and be a bit more of a third and long screen specialist, I think he could have a fucking career and a half, man.
Yeah, and he'd fit really well at the Bills, I think.
Yeah.
Look for that spot.
GM Scott, baby.
We've talked about Pitts a fair bit. He's going to be the top tight end.
Yep.
The O-lineman and a few of these things. Well, I've got a few of these bets that I really like. So let's move on to the last little bit. The best draft props that I've got. Like I said, from start to finish in this, Trey Lance is currently $3 on Sportsbet to go number three pick. Mac Jones is like $1.48.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Trey Lance at number three. So $3. I've had a lick on that as well.
I think Fields is at sevens. Come on, baby. Come on, Fields. Fields
sevens.
Come on, Fields.
That's a big bet. We're both high on Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
And he is currently $2.30 to be the first.
Sportsbet's offering a little multi on that as well. You can pick in order the first three running backs to go.
Yep.
And if you throw Etienne ahead of Najee Harris there's a bit of fucking jam as well.
Guess where I'm going? I've gone a top three as well, but a different one. I believe Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell are locks for their position. So if you go first of their position on Sportsbet, first wide receiver, first running back, and first O-lineman pick, you get $3.75 for Travis Etienne to go.
Do you hate money? Like, do you want to triple your money or
that's
not?
That's jam.
That's fucking jam.
That's jam. Jamar's going to either Bengals or Dolphins, and if somehow he gets the Lions, he'll go there. I believe he goes before Waddle, the two Alabama guys, Waddle and
Devonta Smith.
And like I said, everyone who meets or talks about Penei Sewell when it comes to
rating
offensive lineman.
It'd be a bit of a shake-up if Slater goes ahead as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's improved that much, so I think he's a lock. And instead of getting $2.30 for Travis Etienne, first running back, you might as well get the $3.75 for the top, the first of each position, wide receiver, running back, and O-line.
You're welcome.
And we're both high on Caleb Farley.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to be on board.
Neither did I.
We didn't talk about this coming into it, but he is currently $26. To be the first cornerback. So there's a short price favorite, as we've talked about before.
Surtain
and JC Horn. Surtain's $1.30, $1.40. That's how highly people think he's going to go there. JC Horn's supposed to be the next at $3.
Nah.
And then $26 for Caleb Farley. You're not going to have a lick on that, but if you want to have a sneaky little 50.
Yeah.
Find a little packet of noodles, $5.
Find some coins.
Depending on how much you bet.
Under your seat or something.
It's something to just have a bit of fun with. Like, I'm not gonna go broke if he doesn't become the first cornerback picked off. But
you'd be looking like a very wise GM if he does.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Those are my picks, mate. that was a nice little...
That was a good one. The only jam I've got, again, is it's via Unibet, so you can pick the total round one trades.
Yep.
And I've got under 5.5. I think we're going to see fuck all movement. I know there's talks at the Patriots.
Oh, was that in the top 10 or in the first round altogether?
Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Changes things.
Okay, it does change things. But I thought it was top 10, my bad.
Yeah, round one under 5.5. I don't see a fuckload of movement at all. I know the talk is that the Patriots are going to move up and get a quarterback. Do you not know Bill Belichick?
I don't think they will.
They'll take some guy out of a fuck no school in the 19th round and he'll be Tom Brady. So they're not going to do anything. Again, it's going to depend on that number three pick, the Falcons at 4, and then Detroit. And I think after that Detroit pick, if all stays status quo, you're golden. If it blows up before then, I apologize because
I think the way that Cam, because they always keep, people keep putting a quarterback there. I think the way that Cam talks about the Patriots and the Patriots talked about Cam last year, I think they're quite happy.
Yeah.
They never got a preseason with him. He missed a bit of time with COVID, and they made a fuckload. I talked about him as having the week of doom at one point on the 10 in the can. So
yeah.
I think you're right. I think he will sit in pretty at around. I think they're in 10 to 15 range.
Yeah.
So I think he will stay and just make his picks. But
good fun, man. Yeah, easy money.
See what happens next week. See you next week on Too Early.
Way Too Early, baby.
Way Too Early, Rookie in the Vet.